What does Summerhouse, Vanderpump Rules, Kant, and Nietzsche have in common? This episode of Better Call Sexton, don't miss it. It is a full docket. But before we begin, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and call your, you know, freshman year philosophy professor and just let him know you're going to have a lot to say when we're finished with this one. It's a full docket. Let's get after it.
All right, Jim, it's time. Much like the Taylor Frankie Paul episode where fans were clamoring for your take, it's the Summerhouse episode.
Oh, my God.
And this has got it all, Jim. This has got marriage, cheating, betrayal, friendship, reality TV, business, the whole nine.
It's really the modern version of Peyton Place. It's really quite something.
This, you know, Shakespeare himself could not write
Bard
a drama.
Himself would not be able to write this kind of drama.
Because I think what he would say is he would be like, "'Tis a bit much." You know what I mean? It's a bit, characters are a little overdone.
Right. Well, and that's what's crazy is that this is a real situation. And so for everybody who maybe doesn't know it, or I'll catch you up to speed on some of the details, there is Amanda and Kyle. They are the king and queen of this show. They've been married for years and been on it for about 10 seasons. They've had a very bad marriage on camera, so everyone kind of thought they were coming to an end anyway.
That we're allowed to say that they have a bad marriage.
It's pretty undeniable.
I feel like in a world of moral ambiguity, you know, where change is the only constant, and it's considered indelicate to say that someone's relationship is just bad. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an objectively bad marriage. Like, I think we can all, like the left and then the right, we can all agree, you know, like Muslim, Jew, Christian,
so we'll unite
Hare
the world.
Krishna. Like, this could be the thing that brings us all together, is that we would be like, you know, we can't agree on which God we should be praying to for this marriage to end, but we all agree it probably needs to end.
But I will say, then, you know, you throw in this curveball that she was the victim and kind of the hero, and then it turns out that she was hooking up with another castmate, a friend of her husband.
Allegedly.
Who was also in love with her best friend on the show. So it's a husband betrayal, a friend betrayal, and everything in between.
It's not even like a love triangle. It's like a love quadrilateral.
Yes,
it's like a love parallelogram. Yeah. I mean, it's a real, like, there's a lot of, I feel like that famous picture from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know,
with connecting the dots.
Like that's what it feels like. Yes. It feels like it's like, and yet she also, what, you know, and.
Well, so let's take it piece by piece then. She was hooking up with another castmate, pretty much at this point confirmed, with a lot of overlap with her husband. They were getting into separated. There was a lot of drama, but they are still, even to this day, together. There's that angle. The other side of it is Sierra, who was her castmate, was, you know, in a will they, won't they type relationship with West. Mm-hmm. So which is kind of the more, in your opinion, the more frowned upon betrayal, the friend betrayal or the husband in a bad marriage betrayal?
Oof. I mean, you know, it's hard to pick a villain in this one.
Big time.
In a series of all villains. I mean, it's sort of like a, you kind of can't swing a dead raccoon by a tail and not hit someone culpable in this room. Like, mm-hmm. So there's some bad ones, but yeah, I mean, I guess, and it's a very personal subjective, you know, assessment, but I guess if you try to put yourself into the situation, which I often try to do when I'm looking at a case, for example, who would I want to represent in this? Right. I think that his story is an easier one of sort of there was a lovelessness and disconnection, and I found a more intimate connection with a person that did not cross into sexual lines and instead was more of an emotional intimacy. That's a more sympathetic character if I had to tell somebody's story. But I have to tell you, I could, as someone who gets paid to tell people's story for a living of their relationship, I could tell any of their stories and make them the hero or the villain.
Rub, huh?
Yeah, it really is, because it really tells you that, because again, it's like so many other things on the internet. It's a Rorschach test. Like, it really is. You're looking at it and going, who you align with in this story says more about what's going on in your life and your relationship.
Absolutely.
Or your past relationships.
Yes.
Because some people are getting up there and saying like, well, you know, when someone feels ignored, of course, they're going to want to find some deep connection to someone else. And it's not a betrayal because it's not physical intimacy. And then there are other people that are like, are you kidding me? The fact that somebody like hooked up with somebody doesn't mean it's nowhere near the betrayal as like sharing such deep intimacies with another person. And if there's a problem in your relationship, what you should be doing is trying to like solve it or address it rather than just trying to seek comfort elsewhere. And it really is like, you know, just everybody. And by the way, what's interesting about this one, if you haven't noticed, is it's not as split on gender lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like a boys, like the internet loves boys versus girls.
There's
stuff.
Girl code and guy code
violations
going
on both sides. Yeah. And by the way, there's girl villain and bad villain, whoever you're picking, mm-hmm, right? Because if you're on his side, there's still a girl villain and there's still a girl hero.
Right, right.
So it's kind of like it's forced everybody to like, you know, it's really shocking, you know, because people are like, oh shit. Like my sexism is interfering with my, you know, my own interpersonal issues. Like, yep. And I kind of can't, like, I have to align. There's no clear boundary here. So it's kind of fun to watch. It's way more fun to watch everyone trying to justify the logic of the side they're taking than it is to actually watch the show.
Yes. I know. I mean, the drama is way better than the actual show.
Yeah.
Watching the episodes now, it's like, who cares about any of this? Let's go back to this story.
Yeah. What's really fun about it though, is I think mindful of what a spectacle this has turned into. They're replaying a bunch of the old episodes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more fun than watching that.
Because now you watch it with a whole new eye.
Right,
yes.
Watching it now with the context of the prior stuff, you're like, oh, how did you not see this? Or you watch it and you go, oh, it really is Shakespearean. You're like, thou art a villain.
Yes,
you know?
And that's why obviously reality TV shows like kind of trash, but there is some real stuff in these that you can really sink your teeth into.
100%. And I have to say, and I've said it before, but it bears repeating. I think these shows, just like The Bachelor, Temptation Island, which is coming back this week, all of those things, they all give us the ability to have conversations about our own relationships from a safe distance.
Yes.
It really gives you this ability to be like, well, you know, I think he this. Well, of course he did that because she did this. And you're really talking about your stuff, but you're doing it from a safe distance. Like the blast radius is further out because you're talking. No, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about them, you know, and it gives us this ability to have this safe conversation, or safer, I should say, conversation about what's going on in our own relationship or our own perspective if we were to go through something like what they're going through.
Right.
And I think that that's really useful. I think that can be a really, really valuable tool to vicariously experience these things and process it with your friends or partner or whatever it might be, like your loved one, your spouse, whoever it might be, your kids. You have this ability to sort of like talk about these big relationship issues with people that you know, but that you don't actually know at all. Mm-hmm. You know, like you don't know them personally, but you know their story, and it gives you this ability to talk about it in a way that I think is actually really, really healthy.
And so you mentioned The Bachelorette as well. I find it very interesting that in The Bachelorette story, there was a lot of sympathizing in the form of, well, that person's behavior pushed them to do that, right?
Yeah.
Now, in this scenario, Kyle, who was the guy who was married to her, he was the villain.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I said something to the effect of, if this girl was actually doing this kind of stuff behind the scenes, doesn't it really maybe justify or at least explain some of his behavior? And that is not being applied in this one.
You know,
so
what's interesting is that's a logic I've heard before, and it makes sense, right? I get it. I can't necessarily say I align or don't align with it. I haven't thought about it enough. But I had a really interesting conversation once with a client who had been cheating on his wife for an extended period of time. And he was very angry about the fact that his wife was claiming he was cheating.
Because she didn't have proof?
And I said to him, but you are cheating. And he was like, yes, but she has no proof. Like, she just doesn't trust me. And I was like, right, but you're untrustworthy. And he's like, I know that, but she doesn't know that. And I was like, right, but you're actively cheating on her for an extended period of time. And he's like, right, but she does not know that. This is purely that her gut doesn't trust me. I was like, but her gut is correct. Right. And he was like, right, but why? What about her doesn't trust? And I mean, I was arguing with him, but I understood what he was saying,
yeah,
which is like, right, yeah, but she doesn't know that. So it really was like, I understand that point of view. That's like, well, but if it's true that she was in fact cheating, then his indignance and indifference and cruelty and obnoxiousness and his behavior is a little more excusable. And it's like, actually, it's kind of not still, you know, like it's like, cause if someone is cheating on you, the remedy is not, well, then I'm going to treat them awfully and I'm going to treat them. It's break up with them.
Right.
It's break up with them.
But could you at least make the argument that like, what we decided who was the villain and who was the hero based on what we saw. Huh. Now what we've learned is that what we're seeing is not even close to the full picture.
Yeah.
And so it's not justifiable, but is that maybe that he was feeling something and didn't know why and knew that something was amiss and was acting out, not to justify it, but it's just.
I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying. I think that people like to rewrite the history of relationships and then go, well, maybe some part of me knew.
Yeah,
and it's like, no.
That's bullshit. Yeah.
You were treating this person like crap because you were treating them like crap. Mm-hmm. And by the way, like maybe it's because the way they were relating to you had something to do with it. But come on. Like, this is not like, I just don't really believe that like the, well, you know, I knew he had a gun in his pocket. No, you didn't. Yeah. No, you didn't. Like you shot him because you shot him.
Yeah.
You found out it after that he had a gun in his pocket. Like, come on. Like, don't mm-hmm. do that. So, but I get it. Like, I get the desire. You know, the legal system, one of the reasons why most states are now no-fault divorce states is that the truth is at the bottom of a bottomless pit. Like you're just never going to get there. Mm-hmm. Like, he was sleeping with his secretary. Right. But you weren't sleeping with him for the last 2 years. Well, I wasn't sleeping with him because when we slept together, he was nothing but cold and aloof. Well, I was cold and aloof because you've never had a kind word to me. Well, I didn't have a kind word to you because you stopped saying, okay, like guys, like
round and around we go.
What are we doing? Yeah. Like you're basically what you're both saying is that both of you think you're right and both of you think your conduct was justified. Whoever's aligned with one of you is going to say the other one was the villain and the other one was the hero. Like it's just not. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter. Like, we are where we are. How we got here is to some degree irrelevant. We are where we are. What do we do from here? And I think in this situation, I think everybody's picking a villain or a victim, and everyone is also, like, fitting people with horns and halos. Or they're just smart enough to go, like, yeah, I don't know. You people are just messy bitches who live for the drama. I really don't know. But it remains an exceptionally good Rorschach test because there are a lot of people with a lot of feelings about all of this. Look, guys, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about men and women and what it is we find appealing about each other. One of the things I've talked about over and over again is how one of the most appealing things a man can do is have his together. And that's where Rocket Money comes in. Sponsor of our show, really proud to be associated with Rocket Money. Rocket Money helps you focus your finances and get your collective financial house in order. They can give you alerts when there's changes to your recurring subscriptions. They can help you with budgeting. They help you with automatic savings plans. There are so many features that Rocket Money brings to help you do a spring cleaning of your finances. And there is nothing more attractive than a man who knows how to keep his act together, keep his financial house in order. So now it's time to get your spring cleaning, get your financial house in order. Go to rocketmoney.com/James Sexton. That's rocketmoney.com/James Sexton. Or check out the QR code here on the screen for special offers available only to Better Call Sexton fans. And this will be available to you. Do not miss the opportunity. rocketmoney.com/James Sexton.
I would say there's one person who you could pretty confidently say is at least not to blame here, and that is Sierra, who is seemingly by all, first of all, she's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in the world.
Okay.
And she seems to be a very normal person as far as reality TV goes.
Which, by the way, that's like saying this is a very good looking leper. Like, this is like, oh, she's the most normal person you see on reality TV.
This is true.
That is like, that
this
is the,
true.
That is really setting the bar low. But yes, she seems like someone that you go,
what are you doing
here,
dude?
How did you get this person on this show?
Yes.
Like, this is a normal person who you would meet and be like, oh, they seem lovely.
Right. Now, she was hooked up with this guy, West, a few years ago. A lot of people who are trying to, you know, spin sides are saying, well, that was just a hookup a couple years ago. But if you watch the recent season, they are kind of on again and trying to figure things out. So
Wes just crushing it out there.
Dude, I mean, anybody and everybody.
What is that about?
And that's what Kyle's point is. He got stopped on the street the other day, and he was just like, what the fuck is going on?
What is going on here?
Are hooking up with this guy. They're following this guy. They love this guy.
They love this guy. Like, what has this guy got? Is it like he's got like pheromones going on? We got to bottle this.
Something. But I guess it begs the question, is there like a statute of limitations on when you can still be upset about someone hooking up with a friend? Or
I think always. I think you can always be upset. I mean, look, you feel how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't feel wrong. You feel how you feel, you know? Like, should you judge someone's distant past behavior the same way as their recent behavior? Probably not, you know? I mean, if you found out your significant other cheated on you 5 years ago versus 5 days ago, that's a different emotional experience, right? But which one's better and which one's worse? Well, one, they've been lying to you for an extended period of time. You had no idea that it happened and you've related to them in a certain way for an extended period of time. The other one, maybe you have a present issue in your relationship that you're not aware of and that's like a recent betrayal. And the person can't say, oh, I've changed since then. So I think there's no kind of right or better answer. I think they both suck in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that betrayal of any kind, emotional, physical, you know, has a statute of limitations from an emotional standpoint. I think it makes sense. You have a right to feel how you feel. You know, even in the actual legal usage of the term statute of limitations, which, you know, for anybody who doesn't know the law, the statute of limitations is how long you have to sue somebody. So if you discover a fraud, you can't 10 years later sue somebody. It has to be within, you know, 2 years of the discovery of the fraud. So if the fraud happened 10 years ago, but you just found out about it last year, you've met the statute of limitations, even though it happened 10 years ago. But if you knew about it 10 years ago and you waited 10 years to sue, you've passed the statute of limitations. Like, a certain amount of time passes and you're not allowed to sue a person anymore. You're not allowed to prosecute a person for a crime once you've passed the statute of limitations. The statute of limitations for different civil and criminal charges are different all the time. But in emotional statutes of limitations, you know, for lack of a better term, the idea of like, how long are you allowed to be upset about something or how distant in someone's past? I don't know. Ask yourself the question. If you found out that your significant other had a threesome 10 years before they met you, are you allowed to be upset about that? I don't know. I mean, you're allowed to feel however you feel about it, right? I mean, but should your emotional experience of it potentially be different from if it happened recently versus if it happened in the distant past before they even met you? I think that would make sense to me, but you feel how you feel. So you can argue with your feelings all day long, but you know, you feel how you feel.
So now Sierra is getting the victim hero treatment, which was kind of exactly what Amanda was about to get. She's
right there.
This mistreated wife. Is there anything more valuable in this current climate in the media world than that role? We saw it with Vanderpump Rules. Ariana Maddox was the cheated girl, and then she exploded. A new career, new look, and Amanda had it right there for the taking.
Victim
and now that goes to Sierra.
Points are so useful, and that's why people are constantly trying to frame themselves in that victim, but strong victim. It's not just a victim; it's the victim, but with my head held high.
Yeah,
and you just let out the occasional tear.
Right,
but it's like I'm pushing through the pain, but the pain is there.
Yeah,
you know, like you have to. I mean, whenever I'm like prepping a witness,
I was
going to
say that's
going to
be amazing for you,
when
right?
You prep a witness to testify, you have to be like, I want you to bleed a little. You got to bleed a little. Like, I want a little. We're going to do the, do you need a minute?
Mm.
No, I'm okay. I'm sorry. And then, no, you don't have to apologize. Continue. You know, like, you have to, you really want to let it bleed a little
and
bit.
And are these, when you do these, like, obviously your, I guess, hope as counsel is that it's genuine and real.
I don't really care.
You don't care.
Yeah.
No, so there's
I want it to be convincing.
Right.
Genuine and real is usually more convincing.
Right.
I represent a lot of actors, though. So, I mean, like, sometimes
how
they're
does
like,
that work?
They're like, what's my motivation? And I'm like, your motivation is to not seem like the piece of shit you are. That's your motivation. That would be my motivation if I was you.
Are there ever moments where you're saying to a client, like, you know, you basically, you got to act better than this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, a lot of times I actually have to tell them to like, do less.
Okay.
Like do less. There's a lot of overactors.
Yeah.
There's a lot of overactors out there. Athletes are notorious overactors.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. World Cup is not the only place where they overdo the, you know, you've seen them like when they, like the person like blows against them and they're like, oh, and they fall down. Like, oh, and then the ref, you know, doesn't yellow card and they're like, all right, yeah, fine. It's the same kind of thing. Like I've had clients that I'm like, hey, listen, when you're talking about this incident, if you, you know, if you get a little choked up, it's okay. You know, let that out. It's good that the judge sees you're human. And they hear start weeping uncontrollably when I talk about this. And I put them on the stand and I'm like, could you state your name for the record? They're like, Bob Smith.
Not yet.
And I'm like, not
calm down.
Yeah.
You blew it. That's the second
My next
act.
Question is, what's your address for the record? So we're about like 37 questions away from the part where I needed you to get slightly misty eyed. Oh, that was the goal. But yeah, I mean, look, I get it. You know,
so
yeah, she's winning on the victim points right now. She's out there. She's doing that whole thing. And
I mean, she can get any job or business you want. Now, on the other side of things, business wise, Amanda lost a sponsorship deal real quick.
Real quick.
Meanwhile, just today, like right before we started recording, Complex put out a new video that West is going to be doing gambling content for them, which went over like a lead balloon. A lot of people were really, like, this is the guy. But obviously these things are in the works and you can't really pivot.
And obviously he's not afraid to put a big bet on the table. You know, he's not afraid to
roll
you know,
the dice.
Yeah, just roll the dice and see what happens. You
Do
know?
You think there's, are you surprised or not that the female character here is getting punished business-wise and the male isn't? Does that ever reverse or is that kind of up
I
in
mean,
the air?
I mean, I think we approach male and female infidelity differently a lot of the time because we do generally blame men when men cheat and we blame men when women cheat on men, like I've said that before. But yeah, in this situation, I think you have to look at what the endorsement deal is, though. You know, like gambling endorsement deals, like they're giving them out to like the lowest creatures out there.
Yeah, those people
don't
care.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like Aiden Ross and like all the, like the Sneeko, like everybody, you know, is getting their like, you know, like, all right, I'm going to do this on stake. Like everybody's doing their things now. And this is low hanging fruit, you know? So I just don't think that versus like giving someone their own show or get, you know, platforming someone in a real way, I think is different. So,
I mean, do you think really that there should ever be professional financial ramifications for like a personal?
I think the market, like I'm a capitalist. I think that the market corrects itself. Like I think you can love the art and not love the artist.
Look at Kanye.
Yeah, Kanye is a great example
of
that. He sold out a stadium. And by the way, the people that went to see him because they like his music, I don't criticize them for liking his music. Although I do look at it and say, are you, you know, supporting an individual who's said some really awful things? I also don't blame people that are like, yeah, I don't like Kanye's art anymore because I can't separate the artist from the art. I think that's a perfectly, I'm not trying to be too middle of the road on that, but I really do think there's validity to both of those points of view. Kanye is a bad example because I think he suffers from a significant mental health issue. Mm-hmm. And I think when people suffer from a significant mental health issue, there's a tremendous amount of grace we should be giving people. Having worked in the field of working with people with severe mental health issues when I first got out of college, I have to tell you, I think that, you know, having worked with people with schizophrenia, with schizoaffective disorder, with, you know, untreated bipolar illness, the stuff that comes out of people's mouth is not a reflection of their identity or who they are. They say horrible, racist things, delusional things, just unbelievably unhinged things. It is their illness talking. It is not them. Mental illness is the illness that tells you don't have an illness. So, you know, we would never look at someone and say like, damn it, Kanye, you have lupus. Mm. Like we don't, because we treat illnesses above the neck differently than illnesses below the neck, unfortunately. And I don't think that that's fair. So Kanye is a bad example, but I think you can, you know, appreciate the art and not appreciate the artist.
Well, and then on the other side of things, Kyle, who was, again, kind of viewed as the villain up until this, He has a alcohol beverage lover boy. He's kind of the producer of the show. So he has a lot of business things going on that
the,
were
the businesses these people have, though.
Well, everyone's got to have a drink. Just, everyone's got
it is yep. the grift of the century.
But listen to this grift.
We have Bethany Frankel to thank for this, by the way.
She came out and spoke on it saying, like, not everyone gets as lucky everything. As I do. You
she
know?
Speaks about everything. Yeah.
But so this
including
this,
her divorce endlessly.
Hey.
That was a New York divorce. Yeah, yeah.
But this guy, you know, on the show was talking about how Loverboy is struggling and he's going bankrupt. And then they just did 500 grand of business in like 2 days because now this is affecting your alcohol sales. I mean, it really, it's all so silly, but there are like real life ramifications in every way from this story.
The scale of this money is insane.
Nuts.
Like, it's insane.
The swings like are crazy.
Like I said, I've represented some OF creators, and I have to tell you, like, the economy that this stuff represents is insane. Yeah. Like, one of them just from the DMs that were handled by bots and by like people in Pakistan, mm-hmm. like, and they think they're chatting with this person. Like, it's incredible. It's incredible. The grift is real.
The grift is so real, man.
And God bless the grift.
It really is. So if you had to, and one other element of this, there was a fan/blogger who lived next to West and allegedly had photos and videos of this girl through his window that she then met up with Sierra to show her the proof. Sierra was like, send it to me. And they were like, I can't because that's like, you know, revenge porn almost.
Yeah, it's illegal.
But apparently, allegedly, they did meet up and, you know, she showed the proof, which is just another like wild wrinkle of like, you think you're getting away with this and there's a fan sniping you through the, you know, yeah. What's the craziest way you think someone's gotten caught? I know there's a lot of technology and, but I mean, just straight up someone taking a picture through your window is probably about as surprising as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the Coldplay kiss cam is a bad one.
Yeah, that's, of course, up there, yeah.
I think any of the iMessage, you know, million iMessage cases I've had where the kid's, you know, iPad somehow got hooked up to dad or mom's iMessage, and now that's popping up, and real-time conversation that mom or dad is having from the bathroom upstairs with their lover is popping up on the kid's iPad, and the kid's like, Mommy, what's going on? And then they look at it and watching the conversation in real time.
Yikes.
I mean, yeah, I think shooting from, and the legality, by the way, of taking photos from a public space into a private space is questionable. Like, every jurisdiction is a little different on that in terms of where you're allowed to shoot from and not shoot from, and whether it's a private home versus whether it's an Airbnb or a hotel. Like, that's why you see a lot of photos of people on balconies, because balcony is a semi-public space.
Interesting.
So, but you're not really allowed to shoot into someone's private space, especially if it's adapted by a telephoto lens. Like, there's all kinds of things like naked eye exception in terms of whether you needed to have enhancement or not. It's very tricky legal ground. I mean, it really is, because if you start to extrapolate, and by the way, this is a lot of what law school is. Like, law school is what they call the Socratic method, which is you ask questions about, like, should it be illegal to push someone in front of a train? Most people would be like, yes. Okay, but what if you have to push that person in front of a train to stop the train from hitting 50 people? Like, okay, well, then it you should do it. Not only should you do it, if you fail to do it, should that be illegal? Well, no, because then you would be making it criminal for someone not to kill an innocent person, and that's problematic. Okay, so it would be legal to do it, but not illegal to not do it. Ugh. And that's what Socratic method turns into, is it turns into this series of like logic puzzles. It's like a philosophy class, you know. It's
interesting.
Because we think in generalities, but we live in details. And the most classic example people ever give of this is it wrong to lie? And most people will go, yes, it's wrong to lie. Okay, so the Nazis come to your door and ask, is Anne Frank hiding in your attic? You shouldn't lie. Well, no, it would be immoral not to lie in that circumstance. Okay, but now if they find out she's there, they're going to kill your family. Should you lie or not lie? So which is moral, which is not? And then it turns into a question of what do we owe each other? What is our duty to each other? So that's where all this moral relativity comes from.
At the bottom of the bottomless pit, Jim.
I cannot believe we have turned a conversation about Summer House into the Socratic method and a Kantian morality tale.
This is what I've always dreamed with you. Is like,
I mean,
talk about the headlines and the pop culture.
We better
make
100,000 subscribers
right now
on this one right now.
Everyone subscribe.
Or else we're gonna come back. And we're going to talk about Vanderpump Rules and Nietzsche.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay. We're going to tie Dostoevsky and Solzhenitsyn to, you know, Southern Charm. We're going to turn it to, okay? This is what's going to happen here. That's not even a threat. I think they would love it.
I was going to say, that's, you just planned our week.
God damn.
You planned our week of episodes.
Yeah, I know. Matt couldn't be more excited. He's like, I can't wait.
Yeah. We'll wrap up on this. I would say that given she betrayed, even in a bad marriage, she betrayed a husband and really stabbed a good friend right in the back.
Wow. Wow. Tell us how you really feel.
Well, that's pretty really, much the black and white of it.
You aligned yourself with this position.
I really have
okay.
on this one.
All right.
But, okay. Or, so let me. I'll
no,
back
no,
up
no,
then.
Kevin, please. This is a safe space. Safe space.
Give the Jim Sexton advice to who you think needs it the most in this situation. I won't poison the well. You tell me. Is it West? Is it Amanda? Is it Kyle? Is it Sierra? Who do you think needs the Jim Sexton advice the most?
The viewing public.
That's right.
The
good
viewing
answer.
Public.
Good fucking answer.
Call your mom. Go outside, touch grass, mm-hmm. feed your kids, mm-hmm. pick up a book, read it. You know what I mean? Just step away from the Bravo. Step away.
Put the Bravo down.
Put the Bravo down. You're in a safe space. Put the Bravo down. Step back. In a gunfight between these people, we should be cheering for the bullets. Mm-hmm. Okay? We should not. This is not. These are not good people. They're all just going at each other. Just back away. This is not real life. These are not real people. Back away. Go oversee if your neighbor's okay. Are they all right? Check in on them. And don't take photos of what's going on in their house. That's illegal. That's going to do it for today's Better Call Sexton. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, before you leave, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. It really does help the channel. We are almost at 100,000 subscribers, and we have you to thank for that. And the best is yet to come. Also, check us out on Instagram at NYC Divorce Lawyer. For now, we're adjourned.